Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat preview pod. We go through a quick 10-minute preview of our upcoming game against Sunderland at home. Today, I'm joined by my good friend Brady. It's a good old 3 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. One of only two games that is a 3 p.m. kickoff. How are we feeling, Brady?
I mean, everything's going well at Chelsea. Won 4-4 and a home game versus a promoted team. What could go wrong?
Yeah, exactly that. Right, well, let's talk quickly about Maresca's presser, which has just happened. And you spent quite a lot of it talking about a couple of points, one of them being Mark Gew, who he had a little word in his ear. He said he wasn't training quite at the level that he thought he should be. And, you know, I find that quite surprising, seeing how Mark Gew plays on the pitch. Thought he'd be a great trainer. But he said he had a little word in his ear, and he's training much better now, and he's ready to start.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched the Chelsea training videos, and Mark Gew seems like a bit of a demon in training. I think it might be a little bit of, there was that situation where if he played a minute for Chelsea, we couldn't loan him. So maybe the sporting directors wanted Maresca to make absolutely sure he trusted him before he used him. But either way, Mark Gew is getting minutes now. And those of you who picked him up for 4.3 million in FPL, I think he's going to be starting tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance he's starting tomorrow, and yeah, good opportunities for him to get off the mark in the Premier League for Chelsea this season. Another striker that he mentioned was Liam Delap, who was back in training with the team today, which is unbelievable news. Surely that's a massive positive for Chelsea going forward.
Yeah, I mean, rugby players are tough, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, he looks like a tough lad, a young lad. Regenerative genes, you know, the beauty of youth, just get back. And yeah, it's good. I mean, it wavered between November, December and January, didn't it, the return date. So to have him playing minutes, possibly, I think it's Wednesday the 29th, even if it's a cameo against Wolves, is great. It's great to have Liam back. We shouldn't have too many expectations. I don't think he's sort of going to save, not the season he's saving, but he's not going to come back and, you know, score 30 goals, but he is going to tick over, and he's very good at running the channels and just being that hustle bustle runner nine that we need. So yeah, it's exciting that he can actually get some minutes under his belt in a Chelsea shirt.
And I think a lot of us are excited about seeing that Delap and João Pedro combination, which we've sort of teased a little bit with at West Ham, looked really good with that hold up play and Pedro feeding off it, and also all the other wingers feeding off him as well. Sort of Delap's got that great sort of hold up ability that I don't think, you know, anyone else really has in our squad, even Mark Gew. So, yeah, certainly exciting to get him back as a potential nine. Team news for the game is, I mean, 10 changes were made on Wednesday night. So a lot of players should end up being quite fresh. I think a lot of the team ends up picking itself. We'll probably talk about Sanchez in goal, Reece James in the team, Mark Cucurella in the team, Caicedo playing, Enzo playing, Neto's playing, Pedro's playing. The other spots maybe are a little bit up for grabs. Who do you think fills the two centre-back roles today? Well, tomorrow?
I think it'll be Trev plus one. I'm going to go Josh. I know you've said tossing. I think that's fair enough, because
the reason I said tossing is because he got subbed at half-time. That's why I think it'll be tossing.
I got subbed at half-time because he's on a yellow, though, I think. I don't think it was keeping him fresh.
Yeah. Possibly. One thing, obviously, we'll talk about in the preview as well, Sunderland are a massively physical side. Maresca even mentioned that in his presser. Very physical team. I think Tosin is a good fit.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same against Forest, though, to be honest. I thought Tosin, I mean, I know Chris Wood didn't play, but they're still quite a physical team, Forest. And he still played Josh and Trev, didn't he? So I think he might stick with that. I think it would be Josh and Trev at the back. What do you think? Well, so you're going more Tosin and Trev.
I would lean towards Tosin. I think he's the... what I would have in my predicted lineup, but yeah, well, obviously I wouldn't be shocked to see Achin Pong playing. One thing for sure is Fofana won't start, will he?
No, well, he was taking gels at the end there. It was quite funny, actually. Just a little caveat is like, I think Fofana wanted to come, and the commentary, I know you read the game, of course, I watched it on TV. But apparently, Fofana wanted to come off,
and obviously, yeah, he looked like he was injured.
But we've had to go down to 10 men, and I think Russell was like, we can't finish another game with 10 men. You're staying on. He looked like he was struggling. I think
Estevao was struggling as well. And I know he moved him up front to sort of rest him. That's another reason I think Estevao won't start as well. But so we got the back back five, I think, just between Tosin and Achimpong. Caicedo, obviously, with Enzo in some regard. Do you think Lavia's got a chance to start?
I think it'll all depend if it's kind of like the puzzle, like kind of, or dominoes, I suppose you call it. If João Pedro plays nine and Enzo 10, then yeah, obviously Lavia will play in the six next to Caicedo, or the eight, or whatever you call it. But I don't think that'll happen in this game. I don't think Lavia has been great in these two performances. So I think it would be more Lavia coming on for half an hour. So I think it would be Guiu up top, JP 10, João Pedro 10, and then Enzo and Caicedo in the pivot. Yeah, that's what I think. I think the I think the only one probably we need to talk about is like left wing, right? I think that's the only one where we think maybe there'll be... I'm not sure who'll play left wing, to be honest. So.
Well, I'm like pretty sure it's going to be Garnacho, but you think that it might not be?
Well... I know we sent in the WhatsApp chat having a bit of banter about it, that, you know, he was rested. He was like kind of, I don't think he was...
You were offended by that. You didn't think he could possibly rest a player like Garnacho.
I don't think he's in the, you know, you're resting him. He's a night off. I don't think he'd get nights off yet, to be quite frank. He hasn't scored a goal for us yet. Yeah, I think Gittins played really well. And look, Gittins is struggling with physicality. I think he, and fitness. I think he even said that himself, that the pace and the sharpness isn't quite there. But he looked much better, okay, against 10 men. But he looked even good against 11 men, actually, in the first 15 minutes. I just think there's... I think if, like, 60% Garnacho, like 20% Estevao, or 20% Jamie Gittins, I don't think it... I'm not quite sure that Garnacho will start as you are, that's all.
Yeah, well, let's see. I think those are the sort of the contentious points of the team, but I think...
I don't think Garnacho will play 90. I can't see Garnacho play 90, right? Yeah. I
mean, and we're all agreed Neto starting right wing.
Yeah. I mean, unless he... really wants to play Estevao again and put Neto left wing, but I doubt that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be obviously the strongest. Right now, I think that's our strongest winger combo.
He might play Estevao again. I mean, he even said that he played him aside to rest him a bit. Maybe that alludes to he wants to play him. I mean, he might just give him an hour. I mean, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, he has very definitive plans. He kind of, Maresca tactically plans game to game, doesn't he? So he might be reviewing the... I think Sunderland will play a five, I think, at the back. I'm not sure. But, you know, it'll be who can track their fullbacks and their runners. So maybe it'll just be the best, who he think deems the best winger to do that.
Yeah, Sunderland's predicted team has them set up in a four, I think. But yeah, obviously they are able to play in a five as well. All right, that transitions us nicely, actually, onto Sunderland. Now you've got a few stats for us. What have you got?
Yeah, just from... fairly basic stuff, but going back to understat, just the XG stuff. Sunderland have scored nine and conceded six in the league this year in eight games. So obviously, just scoring over one goal a game and conceding less than a goal a game. But actually, their expected data is a little bit worse than that. Their expected goal data should be what it is, about nine, but they should have conceded three more, which is actually the same as Chelsea. So long story short, Sunderland really should have be on like level goal difference, and Chelsea should be actually on plus three goal difference. So both teams have been overperforming defensively, which is not great, because I know a lot of us think that Chelsea have already let us a lot of sloppy goals in, and we probably should have conceded more. We did have two games of 10 men, I suppose. But their top goal scorer this year is Wilson Isidore with three and Xhaka with three assists. Just a good team. I think they're kind of a lot of players chip in, a lot of very hard-working team, and they're just kind of getting over the line in games. I think we were in the pub, actually, when they beat, last minute, they beat Brentford 2-1, right? Just been kind of just getting over the line. So not a spectacular team, but I mean, we're going in with equal points to them, so that shows how good the start to the season they've had.
Yeah, they're missing a key player out through with the concussion, actually, Omar Alderete. He's been good for them in their last game, but they're still a very strong team, obviously, it looks like, you know, they'll have everyone fit apart from that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to watch them play. Obviously, all these promoted teams, we don't watch too much Championship football, both of us. Chris probably watches a little bit more than us, but you know, these are new teams to us for the most part. And I'll be definitely interested to see how Sunderland set up and play tomorrow, because they've been doing really well.
Staying on Sunderland really quickly, when was the last time we played Sunderland, do you know?
Last time we played Sunderland, a long time ago.
It was May 21, 2017. It was the crowning of the champions. At Stamford Bridge, we beat them 5-1. They went down that year. Can you name the goal scorers? A little quiz. Five Chelsea goals.
Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
One. William.
Yeah, two. There's four goal scorers. So two left. It's the other attacker.
Is that the Diego Costa season?
Yeah, but no, it wasn't him. The other winger.
Pedro.
Yeah, and then the one was a bit of a wild card. He got two goals, actually, both in the 90th minute, after the 90th minute. He came on for Costa.
And got two goals.
He actually scored against West Brom to confirm the league that season, after not playing many games.
Oh, beginning with B, the striker.
Michy Batshuayi.
Batshuayi.
Yeah. That man. Yeah, that's 5-1. So it was, we haven't played Sunderland for, well, over 8 years.
So, yeah, that's obviously why my memory is a bit hazy with that game. It was an enjoyable one to be at, that one.
That and the beers and the games, right? I mean, that must have been a boozy day winning the league.
Exactly, yeah. Maybe we'll be back soon, that. Okay, let's do predictions for the game and wrap things up. I think, obviously, all Chelsea fans will be feeling pretty confident heading into this one, given our form and the fact that, you know, we've got a good... good team out, probably. 1.36 for Chelsea to win, and 7.5-1 for Sunderland if you fancy them. So a pretty long price, but not as long as Ajax were on Wednesday night. So a little bit of a better team than Ajax, according to the odds makers. What are we going for, Brady?
3-1 Chelsea.
3-1. I like 3-1. I think that sort of feels like in the ballpark, doesn't it, of what it should be. But I think it will be a little bit of a tight game, potentially. And I'm going to go for a 2-0 win, but it'll be 1-0 for a long time. And it'll be very nervy, and we'll get the second goal in the 85th minute to make it comfortable.
Chelsea's road show world champions are going to find it tough, eh? Is that what you're thinking?
I think that the way Sunderland is set up and how strong they are in midfield, I think it's going to be a tougher game than probably people think. 2-0 is obviously still a good result.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much, Brady. Can't wait to be at the game tomorrow, Saturday, 3 p.m. I'll see you there.
Yeah, see you there. Cheers, mate.
That's all we've got time for today. Regardless of the role, we will be back to do a review on Monday. For all things, updates on all things ESCR, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. As always, we hope you're carefree wherever you may be. And thanks for listening. Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat.